This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Like, this is such bizarro world shit.
It is.
Like, I don't... It's just so funny because, like, it's so the Sabres, right? Like, they do what everyone's been asking, and then it's like, well, not like that! What do you do? Like, the initial thing was great, but everything you did after was just awful. You
should have pumped the brakes at number three. Like,
oh, my God.
All right, let's go. 126. Let's hammer this out. In 3, 2, and 1. Gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Beyond the Blade, episode 126. I am your co-host, Chad Didymenesis. He's Anthony Chandra. And Anthony, there's no need for the small talk today. We should kind of just get right into this. Like,
you sure you don't want to talk about how your day is going?
Like, some shit went down today. Like,
we're in an all. I'm pretty sure that when Bill left this podcast, we got pulled into some like weird space vortex, and we're living in like some weird bizarro Sabres world.
It's
can we agree this is all Bill's fault?
Partially. I mean, because like there's good news in this, right? I mean, like,
yeah.
I don't even know. We talked about it before the podcast started. Like, I don't.
There's just so
I don't even know where to start. Like, Jason Botto being fired is like fourth on the list of what happened today.
It's crazy, man. And the thing is, nobody. I mean, this comes 3 weeks after them doubling down on the dude and telling fans you're all dumb for wanting a change, and then they light the whole thing on freaking fire
because the guy wouldn't fire anybody.
Because
that's the reason of all the reasons to fire this guy. That finally pushed him over the edge is because he wouldn't fire everybody. Like, you made me feel bad for the guy, and like, right. Oh, this dude's a hero. He tried to save jobs, and like,
yeah, he's the only guy with a spine in this whole story.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
He's like a martyr.
Right.
So Jason Botterill's a martyr. What is happening?
It's unbelievable. It's just, and then immediately when you find out like the owners are talking today, you're like, oh, this probably isn't going to go well. And
unless they took public speaking courses in the last 3 months, this is going to be a nightmare.
So much,
and it was.
And like the awkward thing in it, like Tim Graham wears your Detroit Tigers hat, like,
dude, hey Tim. Are we on mute? Oh, that shit. That's how I wanted to start the podcast and be like, wait, Chad, am I on mute? My favorite thing that nobody caught, but if you go back and listen, it happened when they were talking about the new technologies. Like, and you know, Ralph and Kevin, they understand it as well or better than I do. I'm like, well, I'd fucking hope so.
I don't know. Like, we have to get some organization. So maybe like, we kind of do this sequentially, I guess, like it is, right? Okay, so let's start at the beginning here. I don't think people need us to run down what we're going to talk about today. I'm pretty sure it's obvious. So,
yeah.
Jason, okay. Take a breath here. Jason Botterill is gone, right?
Correct.
So.
Confirm.
Can confirm. Sources indicate, confirmed. He's gone. So that is good. Right. So, I mean, besides him being a martyr and trying to save people's jobs, we'll put that to the side, but that's good. Moved on. Somebody else is in there. Maybe another podcast will relive Botterill's history, because like, if that was the only move today, we could do that, but there's like 15 more. So
I'm actually good on that.
Right? I mean, we've done it so many times, right? I mean, we don't need to
traded a really good player for pieces.
And I mean, that's the headliner in his like GM resume, right?
That's
like,
what he'll go down.
Traded Ryan O'Reilly. Like, yeah,
traded Ryan O'Reilly.
That's his deal. So, c'est la vie, Jason Botterill. I mean, maybe he's a lucky one in this who actually got out of it scot-free and he gets to go work for another team that's a real franchise apparently. So maybe Jason Botterill wins in all this.
You know what's, I mean, maybe, but the crazy thing is, and before we move on from Botterill, right, this is just, man, it's so this ownership group where we're talking 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, they double down on the guy. They call fans dumb, right? Like, you guys don't know what's going on. And then out of nowhere, the guy's just, boop, gone. And this is after, and I'm comfortable telling people this. It seems to be common, you know, not common, but knowledge now, I guess.
Yeah.
That's after you picked up his bonus because you missed the deadline to fire him before it. Like, oh, my God. And now you're selling off parts. You're just chopping off limbs of your organization to stay, I don't know, buoyant in all of this. And then you go on, you know, this press conference and be like, well, money's not the issue. But then you're, like, selling the freaking furniture.
Literally, as you're talking, people are in there taking stuff out of your office.
The couch Terry and Kim were on is getting, like, moved.
I tried to take the whole day to collect my thoughts, and like I said, it felt like a whirlwind because like it's every time you flip on your phone, like now what are they doing?
And now,
like, it's,
what now? Yeah,
I keep trying to focus my vision here on one thing. It's so hard.
Rewind back to 2010. If someone told you at the Drill Another Well press conference, someone tapped you on the shoulder and said, "Hey, in 10 years, it's going to be more of a poverty-ass franchise than when Galisano ran it and just bounced." Can you imagine future occurring? We're in a vortex. This isn't real. Time is a false construct.
And the crazy part, like, to give you the idea of how quickly this happened, there was a call that took place yesterday, from my understanding, and apparently there was some disagreement. We know part of it from Frank Cervelli saying on TSN is the whole, like, you know, they wanted about it, or the Bagulos wanted to make these cost cuttings, and, you know, Botterill didn't want to do that. And then that also, from my understanding, is there were some, you know, hockey things related in there too, which kind of helped push it over the edge. You know, they weren't happy or anything like that. But, like, then it's just, it's astounding how, like, I keep going back to that. They made this guy, at the end of the day, the good guy in this entire story. And that's the thing that keeps getting stuck on me. But then you follow that up with, oh, cool, they fired a new GM, and then, oh, wait, Kevin Adams? Where does Kevin Adams come from?
You mean hockey Russ Brandon?
How did he get in this? And Eddie, like, what? Didn't the dude just get promoted to, like, vice president of administration, like, 3 months ago? Now he's your GM of your hockey department? How? Why?
By the way, and this is just tweeted out 1 minute ago, so I'm just throwing it in there now. John Warrow just tweeted, "It's becoming more clear that the decision to fire Botterill was part of a large series of cost-cutting moves the Sabres have embarked upon to ease the bottom line of a franchise that's going to sit idle through potentially January." Now, this is the same John Warrow that has basically been the Pegula's mouthpiece since they bought the Bills. You know what I mean? Yeah, maybe before that. And all he's done is you know, kind of giving them softball. So him coming out and saying this is, I think that's relevant to me. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way to deny this is not money related. I mean, like I said before, they were unhappy about the hockey things before that, but apparently they were going to look through that. And then, like, to have the audacity, like, for me during this media call to just, like, say it was communication was the issue. Like, dude, that wasn't the issue.
That's you, man. And it's also you if that's right. The issue. Yeah.
Right. If everybody you hire has communication issues, maybe you have the communication issue.
Right. Met an asshole in the morning, you met an asshole. If you meet an asshole in the morning, at noon, and in the evening, you're the asshole.
Yeah. It's part of me, like, I sit here and like, I'm like, okay, try to be positive. Kevin Adams, you never know. Like
he's played in the league before.
Yeah. He has some experience. He knows some hockey people. Like, he's never really worked in a hockey front office. All right. I mean, I guess at least he's been with the team and maybe knows a few names of the players on the team. I don't know. Let's hope so. But then you fire everybody.
You just take
everybody that could help him and you just strip him away. And now you want this guy to go out and just hire, I guess, a new department at a much cheaper cost. And you're setting this guy for failure already. That's not fair to him. And like, I don't want to be careful here. I don't want to like say Kevin Adams is like a bad guy in this entire story, but I mean, he took this job full well knowing what he would be doing next. Like they probably said, okay, you're going to be GM, but you're going to fire a little everybody. And he was like, all right, fine, I'll do that. So I think there's some part of that there, but maybe we'll push that to the side, whatever. I mean, there's no denying from everything we've heard on Adams, and he's, I guess, a quote-unquote yes man for the Pegulas. You know, he's rose up the ranks kind of being their right-hand guy, like you said, kind of like a Russ Brandon. And here he finds himself running the hockey department now. And I don't know. I want to have some optimistic views on it. Like, I want to believe, maybe that's for another podcast, like to believe what he can do and what his experiences are. But like,
yeah,
it's so hard. The way they've set him up right now is, it's just, you're asking a lot from this guy.
Right.
With very little experience, not to mention.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, like, I'm not upset at Kevin Adams. It's just, They put a guy with no experience in a really hard spot here, right? It's not, I mean, he could be great, right? He could be a great GM, but like, man, you are really asking a lot for this from this guy right now. I think that's like the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's bad, you know, and you've taken away everyone except for Kevin Devine, who might know anything about the draft.
Yeah.
That dude's invincible. I don't know how that keeps happening.
Another yes man. I don't know.
Vampire.
I don't know.
And by the way, that's another great thing to bring up, right? In that press conference, all the things Pegula listed that he liked about Kevin Adams were all things like you would like about a dude who runs and gets you coffee, like the office gopher. Yeah. Those were all characteristics of that guy.
I tweeted about, I understand what he's trying to say, but it came across, and maybe this is the reason why. It literally came across, though, as they only hired this guy because they knew him and he does what they ask.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Doesn't matter if he had any hockey experience. Like, I really legitimately believe that. It didn't matter. They just wanted somebody in that role that will do what they say. They wanted their entire hockey department fired. They asked him if he would do it. He said yes. And they're like, okay, you're the GM now.
Hmm.
Like,
yeah.
There's no other way around it. I mean, you can't convince me of any other thing around it. They were given the opportunity to say multiple times when they were asked to explain why this wasn't strictly money related and they wouldn't do it, because the answer is this was strictly money related,
right?
They get to bring in Adams, who's probably isn't going to cost much of their GM. I mean, you couldn't even be bothered to take 36 seconds to just look at what else you could hire and say, nah, just let's bring Adams in, let's have him do it. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a mess. It's a mess.
And there's no way you're going to conceivably sit here and tell me too. Like, we're going to transition to the everybody else getting fired thing now. Like, it's
right.
To be honest, you know, for the listeners, we're going to bounce all over the place here. So just kind of hang on for the ride here, because there's so much that happened. There's so much that's running through my mind still that we're going to be all over the place. But I said this numerous times, I think, on Twitter, because people keep bringing it up, and I want to kind of say for the last time, maybe. I don't really have a problem with firing scouts. I mean, it happens all the time. Scouts move around all the time. It happens. But to fire almost every single amateur scout, some pro scouts, some player development people, anybody who works for the Amherst, essentially, because somebody calls the Amherst, and now nobody's answering the phone. So the coaches who were successful there, they're gone, which is wild, but all right, fine.
Yeah.
But then, like, you're going to fire a whole amateur scouting department when I get the draft is still 2 to 3 months away, which seems like a long time. But when your general manager hasn't looked at any draft stuff, that's not a long time.
Right.
And there's no way to talk to about it.
Right.
And here's the thing, too. Like, yeah, they'll just hire new ones. No, because teams are not letting their scouts go right now because they're planning for the draft.
Who are you? I was going to say, who's the free agent scout?
Is Billy in marketing going to be your director of amateur scouting now? Like,
probably. How much does Billy want a year?
Yeah. Like, you can go get Mike Fuda, sure, but like, it's, hey, Mike, want to come work for Common Adams? Like, no, nah, I'm good, man.
Yeah, right.
We'll pay you $25 an hour. Like, you can.
We're come super functional as a franchise. Yeah, like, are you?
Like, it's.
Who's the guy from Vancouver?
Beckett, but like, Judd Beckett, but he's not leaving until after the draft. I would go get him too, but again, he's not leaving until the draft is over.
He could quit. And I don't know who quit. I'm just kidding. I'm being.
I mean, he essentially did quit, but he can't leave until the contract is over.
Fantastic. This is cool stuff, huh?
I mean, like, what are you going to do?
He could Brandon Bean it and feed them information, the Sabres information at the draft.
I mean, I guess you could say just open a draft book and maybe you would just be as successful as they've been through the last 10 years. So,
right,
whatever, who cares, do that. But, like, can you – like, I just don't understand. Like, that's the whole thing about getting rid of all these scouts. Like, the dude has nobody to, like, to fill him in. So what, he has
I feel
to
like
sit
the Michael
for,
Scott like, gif where he's like, I understand nothing.
Right. I mean, so he's got to sit there for who the hell knows how long till like he can hire somebody, like he gets approval to hire some people. Like, I don't know. Here, Kevin, read some books. Like, I don't know. I guess he can spend the next 2 months calling GMs and agents that he doesn't know. Like that.
Amazing.
And not to mention, like, you have this guy in here when you have like 13 restricted free agents he has to negotiate with.
Oh, yeah. This is not an important offseason. Like, this is a really good time for this.
It's just, it's wild.
It's nuts. I'm wearing New Jersey Devils stuff right now. Like, I don't know if that's related.
I have my Vegas hat on. Like, so
yeah. I've got a New Jersey Devils shirt and hat right now. And it's like, why the Devils, Anthony? Because they're not the best. And you're right to think that. But at the same time, I need just something different at the moment. And so I went with New Jersey.
Yes.
There's no good reason for it. Maybe it's because Tom Fitzgerald was a candidate at one point. I don't know. I was like, you know what? No Sabres. I always wear a Sabres thing when I'm recording, and you can't see me. No one can see me. I don't know why I do it. It's just a thing I do. But I didn't today.
I took my Vegas hat off for the press conference today. I didn't think people would run I don't know how that would have been over if I had a Vegas hat on.
That would have been so funny, and I'm upset at you for doing that. But that's okay. But yeah, I mean, there's just, like you said, I mean, like, I can't wrap my freaking head around like a single thought right now because there's like 14 you could go into. But I think it all boils down to like, man, in what is the an offseason that could theoretically affect this team for the next 5 years at least, right? You really couldn't have set it up on like shakier foundation. And I think that's everyone's biggest beef, right? And you got you know, the funny guys like, oh, fans want to change. Team makes a change. Fans, what the heck? It's like, shut up. Like, this, you know, this is not what we were freaking talking about.
Right.
Shut up.
We didn't tell you to fire your GM, hire a guy with no experience, and then fire the rest of his department.
So yeah, that's what everyone had in mind. At bootlicker 421. That's exactly what we meant. You're right. We're all the idiots.
Kim Steve had Hoffman, 2-3-6-7-8-5-9-4-3-1.
Oh, man.
I don't know. It's just like, I feel like I'm even like missing stuff. Like, but
I think we're definitely missing stuff. I just don't. Oh, the whole Chris Taylor.
Yeah.
Dismantling the entire Amherst staff. You talked about that already. This is, by the way, this is all a flat circle. It's like the infinity.
Like I said, we're going to be all over the place. Like, it's.
Yeah. But. Yeah, I mean, the entire Amherst staff, of the one thing, regardless, they've been doing it on the backs of veterans, but the one thing that's been kind of working a little, everybody out.
The guy that had some promise, I guess, like a coach or some sort
so
of like something.
So think about this. Not only are you asking this guy to build like a makeshift scouting staff, to draft a team, to handle all these expiring contracts.
Big negotiations. One is like your third best player.
Yeah. And by the way, he's probably told Pagula, like, hey, the rebuild doesn't have to happen because that's what they said, right? We don't think the rebuild's ongoing. So not only is he trying to do that, he's trying to be competitive next year, and he's got to assemble an entire coaching staff in Rochester. And I'm yelling. I'm shouting, and I don't know why.
And find assistant general managers and, like, if they let fire him, because that was even a question mark today. Like, we don't even know if he's even going to get AGMs at this point. Like,
oh, my God. Could he have more on his plate? Like, call up Darcy? I mean, who's not doing anything right now? Who's been unemployed for a while?
And
Peter Chiarelli.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You're not getting anybody to leave to come be an AGM for your organization that fires everybody.
Oh, the Sabres? Hell yeah. No, nobody's saying that. Hire Megan Chayka. She'd never come because she's smart, but hire
her. I mean, really, like, if this is, like, I said this before, like, if you want to, like, cut costs and, like, do cut costs, like, saving measures, like, this is where you go, like, data driven. Like, you go out and you target people to find players that are cheap that will still be good. Like,
right,
the role you go. But what I'm afraid of is we're gonna get, like, a Steve Coriolanus, like job posting, like, here, come do analytics for us, we'll pay you $25 a week. Like,
yeah. And the funny thing is, I gotta be careful here. No, never mind, I'm not gonna say it. But I mean, you're right. The money ball approach is, like, if you really want to cut costs, right, and, like, that's your whole thing, like, oh, okay. Like, you should really start looking at analytics then, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you should start reading the articles that you put out every summer saying, hey, this guy's cheap and good, right? Yeah, it's just, yeah, I don't know.
Just scroll through Twitter and you'll
find. But no, we're gonna pay Wayne Simmons. Some. We're gonna pay Wayne Simmons, and we're gonna give, you know, Montour $5 million a year because, you know, the devil we know. I don't know. Hopefully, you know what? I'm not going to whine about that yet, because maybe Kevin Adams is like, oh, yeah, I'm blowing it up. Maybe he's an analytics guy, and we don't know. And that's the thing. We don't know anything about him.
Because all he's done is fire people.
All he's done is right. All he's done is just, like, act out the will of his owners. Like, he hasn't done anything autonomously. So, like, maybe he loves analytics. Maybe he's big into it. You never know. Maybe that was the big selling point for Terry. You know, I forget who tweeted it, but someone was saying, like, hey, you know, I'm starting to believe, or I've been hearing, right, that Adams was part of the, hey, we should get rid of this guy train. And maybe it's because he knew Botterill was a fraud in terms of how he understood analytics.
Yeah.
Adams was like, I can do this for cheaper and better. You know what I mean? And he's right. You could, if that's the case. So,
and that's why I want to have some hope, like, in belief, like, Adams can, like, you know, I don't write the guy off, because I don't
think that's fair at all. If they didn't light everything else on fire today, I'd be a lot more optimistic. And by the way, it's not like they burned a lot of good books, like a lot of good stuff.
No.
I mean, but they burned a lot of stuff.
Right. I mean, like, a lot of the, like, listen, for an organization that hasn't won a playoff game in 9 years, or hasn't been in the playoffs in 9 years, nobody's job should feel safe, right? Right. And I understand that.
Except you DJ make changes. Mills, because I love him.
But I keep coming back to the fact that you hired an unquestionably underqualified general manager 13, 14 hours ago now.
Yeah.
And you left him with nothing.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. You left him with reports. Like, hopefully he reads them and has no questions, because there's nobody to answer your goddamn questions.
It's like if I walked into your office, shattered a vase on the floor, and threw you a tube of Elmer's and was like, fix this, like, real quick.
Right.
It's incredible.
Buffalo Sabres, man. They never surprise. It's right when you think they can't get any worse.
Oh my God.
They totally redeem themselves in a bad way.
What else from the press conference? I don't know. There's so much stuff. There
too. Like, it's like so much. So much. Like,
oh, I forget who asked it, but they said something like, you know, why can't you get this to work with GMs of the Sabres? And Kim's like, I wish I could tell you. And Terry's like, well, actually. Just like, oh, you guys aren't on the same page, are you? Cool. All right.
There's a couple times where, like, he would say something and she was like, either one of them would be like, well, actually, kind of. And like, it would just, like, did you guys discuss this at all before you came on? Like, did you have some talking points? Anything?
Yeah. You know what I really like? The guy who ran, like, the worst penalty kill in league history is back, and everyone else got fired.
Right.
Oh my God. By the way, if you didn't catch the presser, Kruger was doing it from, like, an abandoned warehouse in Manitoba. It was really weird. Like, red light.
That's right. He was in his, I think it's his house in Switzerland, the one with the really fancy wood ceiling.
Okay.
Kruger, right?
Yes. Yeah. Is that what, did I not say Kruger?
I'm excited. You went silent for a second. I'm like, you said Krueger, didn't he?
No, I said Krueger. It was okay. Like, it definitely looked like the first thing you see when your blindfold comes off and you've been kidnapped.
Yeah, right. I mean, I think they wanted to get like that Star Wars like vibe in there, where like he was like the red behind him. And
I liked it. Yeah, he definitely had like a Palpatine vibe going. Palpatine energy.
He did. I did note a few times when he jumped in during things. Like, all right, you know what? Let me just talk a little bit here. Like,
yeah, you guys are really falling on your face. Okay, Ralph Wiggum. Like, I'm gonna take this over. Dude, by the way, the big thing from that presser, which we haven't touched on, is Kim doubling down on the we see things that the average fan doesn't. Ugh. It's like, stop.
Yeah.
You fired this guy after you paid his bonus when everyone was telling you to do it in January. Like, do not do this.
Right.
It was bad when you first said it. It's so egregious now. It's so delusional.
When you fired the guy 3 weeks later. Like,
it's completely delusional for you to say that. And
not to mention, you fired everybody because, like,
So Melissa, our one of our staff writers at Die by the Blade, just tweeted a list of everyone we know of who's been fired today. Would you like me to read it?
Sure, go for it. Why not?
Jason Botterill, Randy Sexton. I forgot the first name was Randy. Steve Greeley, Chris Taylor, Gord Dineen, Toby Peterson. Dineen and Peterson were AHL assistant coaches. Ryan Jankowski. And Jeff Crisp, who was an assistant director of amateur scouting. And there are more, apparently, that we don't have the names of yet. But those are the ones we know of.
Player development coach, and Mike Komisarek, player development coach.
There you go. So those weren't on there yet. But, yeah, that crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, and I've been trying to work and confirm it all day, and I haven't done it yet. I just don't – I'm not sure the few I think it's like two or three analytics people they have that they all survived it. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to confirm it all day, but I don't think they're all going to survive either. I'm not sure Nightingale is going to go, but I think one or two of the people he works with might end up.
Sure, because again, why bolster the department that could actually probably save you money?
Yeah, I mean, Nightingale's been on furlough for like a month and a half, 2 months now anyway. So like,
right.
I don't even know who's doing any of the draft prep. I mean, I do know who's doing the draft prep there. They have a guy who's doing it, but like.
This is Steve. He just graduated from UB 3 months ago.
Right. I mean, essentially.
Yeah. Cool. Fun stuff.
Yeah. Well, here's what I think we're going to do. I think we need to kind of take a break here for a few reasons. One, I think we need to kind of assess where we are to make sure we're not forgetting anything. Right. And two, because we're contractually obligated to get a break in here because we have to do that. So we'll get that in here. Anthony and I will kind of collect our thoughts. We did a lot of yelling, a lot of all over the place in this here. And then we'll kind of maybe come back and try to, like, I don't know, focus on, I guess, what the future could look like and maybe what they can do with this new opportunity they've given themselves by opening up their entire hockey department. Maybe we can talk about that. So we're going to take a quick break here. You're listening to Beyond the Blade on the Die by the Blade podcast network. We'll be back with you after these commercials.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Right, welcome back. So we took the break there to kind of we get a longer break because we can actually pause however long we want. You just don't know that. We literally just don't take a minute break. But so we tried to, I think, articulate our thoughts and kind of get organized. And the issue is Anthony and I, our brains are kind of going at 100 miles an hour right now.
And we fail.
Let's talk about this. Oh, wait, no, I think we talked about that already. Wait, no, let's talk about this. But did we mention that one already? Like, it's like, and then you get into the wormholes and this and that. It's just, so we're going to do our best here to try to take a breath. That's kind of assess where we are here, because let's start by stating a few facts here, Anthony. Okay.
Sure.
To kind of reset ourselves.
Yeah.
Kevin Adams is the new general manager of this team.
Correct.
He has an offseason ahead of him where he has a handful of restricted free agents he has to deal with. Mm-hmm. Linus Allmark, Sam Reinhart, Brandon Montour,
Victor Olsson,
Dominic Cahoon, Middlestad if you want it, Tage Thompson. He has a bunch of them, right? I mean, the Curtis Lazar, like, there's a whole bunch. Lawrence Pilot, sure, he's still their property, I guess. And then he has some unrestricted free agents. Like, basically, is what are they going to do with Larson? Are they going to bring him back or not? That's a decision that has to be made. Carter Hutton, his vision problem is an issue. Mm-hmm. So then you have Jack Eichel, who's unhappy and wants to win. And then now you make this change, and you say you're not rebuilding, but you're making drastic changes to your organization. Whether I don't know, but that's a sign of kind of you're at the very least rebuilding your organization, which I think would then mean you're going to reduce rebuilding the team on the ice. So, you know, where I guess what is the direction this team goes in? Like, and you got to think in the back of your head too. I think as a wild card that's worked into here. I mean, for an owner that talked about getting lean and efficiency and all the cost-cutting measures we're seeing today, you know, and then from the tweets from Morrow and then from Cervelli, that like, this is clearly money is a concern for them, right? Like, that's clear as day here. So basically, I think it might be wise to have a conversation of how does this bleed into the team? Now, this is the mm-hmm. team that under the Bagulas every single season have spent to the cap. I don't think it's unreasonable to believe that won't be the case this year, right?
Yeah, I think you're right.
What is the down? What's the outcome of that? Like, who pays for that in a way? Like, and by that I mean, like, who's the consequence? Is it you trade Reinhart because you don't want to pay him that money? Yeah. Is it you trade Ristolainen because he makes so much? Is it Brandon Montour? Is it I don't know. I can't really think of anybody else who's really good that you would trade, but like, it seems like. And the thing that's, I think, maybe the most scary of all this is it could be Sam Reinhart because they don't want to pay that big contract. Especially when you got to pay Dahlin next year, and you damn well know they're not letting Dahlin walk out the door. So, you know, I think that's concerning, and I think that's difficult for Adams to navigate too, because if he's given them directive to put together a team that is going to come in below the salary cap ceiling, which is going to be at the very least flat, if not maybe down a little bit, but best case scenario, probably flat. And we know the cap situation after you're signing restricted free agents, there's not a amount of money left. So if we take somebody some of that money, I don't know, what are you doing here? Like, are you going to bring back the same team? Because you could do that if you just resign everybody, like all the RFAs, you can essentially put together a team. And when you're going to add Dylan Cousins into the mix, and you can be somewhat same team, but it's. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like beyond everything that happened today, there's still so much uncertainty that today's connected to. So I kind of did a lot of talking there and threw a lot of things at you. So I'll kind of let you riff on some of that.
No, sure. And one of the things that we haven't really mentioned yet is the level of influence, which is unknown, that Ralph Kruger's going to have in this whole thing, right?
And that can be hard on him, too. I mean, you're going to ask the guy to be a head coach and also have some say in player moves, too. Like,
well, yeah, but my concern is like, okay, I mean, we know he really likes Marcus Johansson, right? And yuck. And we know he, you know, man, so maybe that's not a guy they're trying to
cut. He said,
you know,
he likes Ristolainen, but I mean, I don't know. Was that right, coach speak, or does he really like Ristolainen?
Well, I'm more talking about like actions, right, on certain guys. And like, this is a guy who forgot about Dominic Cahoon existed. So that's alarming in and of itself, right? And he's – listening to him and kind of things we've heard about him from other sources, right, is like he likes guys with you know, great personalities. It's like, well, okay, that's cool. I don't really care about the personality. Are they a good hockey player, right?
Yeah,
I'm sure. I mean, Wayne Simmons is awesome in the locker room. I'm sure he's a great guy,
right.
But he's not good. He's creating a negative impact on the ice, which that negates that benefit for me. So that's a little alarming, right? And I think the, you know, not spending the cap thing is interesting, where I don't know how you really avoid it. Number one,
there's a way to avoid it. I kind of, I mentioned it,
right? No. Okay. Let me try this again. There's no way to avoid it if you plan on being very competitive.
Right, that's the thing.
You know what I'm saying? Unless you really do trade Ristolainen and Montour and find someone to get, you know, to take Johansson off your hands, get Carter Hutton out of here, and do something with Kyle Oposo. You know what I mean? It's just,
yeah.
Eventually that becomes insurmountable.
Yeah.
Probably right when I hit Hutton. That's where it became unrealistic. But I'm trying to word this the right way, and I'm just like not coming up with it. But I guess my main thing is, if Kevin Adams can put together something resembling, you know, a playoff team, I think he can get away with, you know what I mean, convincing the Pagulas like, hey, one more year up against the cap, like we can do this.
Yeah.
Because as you and I have alluded to, it's really not that hard to make them competitive. It shouldn't be anyway. You know what I mean? There are ways to do it, and there are guys who are holding you back both financially and in terms of on-ice impact that you won't have a hard time finding a buyer for.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know. He's got a lot of freaking work to do, and I know he's got more time. You know, it's not like free agency kicks off in 14 days like it normally would. You know, it's a ways off. But in saying that, man, this just became 2 to 3 off seasons worth of work. And I don't know. I don't know how you do it. He's got to be a really motivated, really intelligent guy, which maybe he is, but my God.
Yeah. I mean, it's,
I know I said a lot of words there and
no, I mean, that's fine. Nowhere, it kind of gets back to the thing. Like, I think you're setting this guy up for a situation where he's almost impossible to succeed in, right? I mean, you want him to put a good team on the ice, which, be that as it may, the moves that require that, I mean, even just to get to that point, to make changes to your team, he has to go through a lot of negotiation of contracts.
So yeah,
he has a lot of players to sign. I mean, so like there's just a lot of work in itself to be done in that aspect. And then you want him to reshape the hockey department too. Like, as I mentioned earlier, like I get it. You have what, 4 to 5 months here before really the meat and potatoes probably of the NHL offseason happens. But as I said, nobody is letting anybody go right now. You're not going to be able to grab scouts. I mean, that are hired at least. I guess you can find ones that are unemployed. And
great.
I don't know. I mean, do you want those ones? Like, right? I mean, they're unemployed for a reason. Or I guess you can go get new ones, which is fine. Go for it. Go find new blood, new brain, new thoughts. Do that. I'm all for that. So you can try that. And that might come cheaper because they're new. So that's a possibility. But like an assistant general manager, are you going to get somebody who's unemployed right now? I mean, who is that? It Peter Chiarelli? Like, Mike Fuda, like, are the two.
No. Gillis.
You're not going to get Mike Gillis to come be your AGM, though.
No.
If you get Mike Gillis, he's going to be your president of hockey ops, but they said today
they're not going to do, right.
Yeah. So Mike Gillis is basically out.
Yep.
So
maybe if New Jersey makes a move on Fitzgerald and like lets him go, I don't, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Maybe.
He's
really close with Bottle, though. So like, is he going to come over here and work for the team that just fired his close friends?
His son is in the organization.
Sure.
That matters. You know what I mean?
I mean, Ray Shiro's out there, but again, Ray Shiro's not coming here to be an AGM.
Right.
I don't. It's just hard because the point I'm getting to is like, while there's time, there's really not, because this guy is not really going to be able to do that much to rebuild his hockey department until like this 2014 playoff thing is done, which could be what, August, September, and then oh, guess what? Here's the draft. Oh, guess what? Here's free agency. Here's restricted free. Like, it then things start to happen quickly. Like,
yeah,
you look at it like, oh, 3-4 months, plenty of time. But when you add in the realistic situation that we're in right now, it's not a easy situation. And then, like, you want your general manager to be focused on making your team better. But instead, he's going to be trying to make your team better, at the same time trying to get people to help him. And then trying to make new relationships, new contacts with general managers who I'm sure see blood in the water for a guy with very little experience. Like, how many GMs in this league are like, oh my God, I'm going to take advantage of this guy?
Yeah.
Even agents.
Right.
And there's nobody in there right now to be like, no, don't do that. Or that's not a good idea. Like,
mm-hmm.
He doesn't have anybody right now.
I just love just the vehement way Pegula was like, no, we're not doing the president of hockey thing. We're comfortable in our communication. Well, what do you think the biggest problem has been? Oh, well, communication for sure. It's like, right. What?
Right. What you're doing isn't working, because maybe try something different. Like, right. I don't know. Throw it out there. Just try.
Did you really get burned by the LaFontaine situation so hard that you'll never do it again? Like, don't be a child.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
But again, it comes down to, like, you got to pay that person.
Right.
They're not, they're not going to do that right now.
Well, Tim Murray comes off the books in a couple months.
Comes off in a couple weeks, end of June.
There you go.
So you don't got to pay him anymore. You just got to pay Botterill, Sexton, and Greeley for the next 2 years.
Good Lord.
Good thing I picked up that bonus.
I'd love to know the dollar amount. I don't. That would just make me laugh. I have to figure it's significant, but I don't know.
I don't know.
Good thing they did. Yeah, bought him an extra couple weeks for decisions. Shit.
So yeah, I mean, part of me feels bad for Kevin Adams. You know, it's, and I think that's when you kind of look back on it. Whenever that time comes, you know, I don't know, 2-3 years, I don't know, 6 months. Who the hell knows at this point when they're gonna get somebody else to run the hockey department? Like,
yeah.
I think you're going to look back, and that's kind of how you look back with Botterill. Like, you know, you really, the cap situation wasn't that bad when he took over. You're going to look back on Adams' tenure, if it goes poorly, and be like, man, they set that guy up to fail. Like, because that's just the reality of the situation.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a new – it's all hitting me again. I'm getting aggravated about it. You hire a guy who was clearly underqualified to run your hockey department that hasn't been good in 10 years. You fire everybody. You have so many decisions to make this offseason, and not to mention it's one of the most unprecedented times in this sport's history and around the world with what is happening. Mm-hmm. What made you think that you didn't need to look anywhere else? Like, even if you want to go with Adams, like, take a few days and have somebody come up here with him. Like, Adams would be the GM, but we brought in, even like, let's just say Mike Fuda. Like, here he comes. Like, wouldn't you feel better if, like, let's say they just said, okay, we're firing Botterill today. And then in a week and a half, they go, okay, we're going to have Kevin Adams, and here comes Mike Fuda with him to be his AGM. Wouldn't things be a little bit different, even if everybody is still fired?
Yeah.
You'd be like, at least
Something. He's got a second set of hands.
Right. He's got somebody to, like, guide him through, like, because he's never done this before.
Right.
And he has, like, two general manager's numbers in his phone, probably. The two that he's friends with, and Ron Francis and Rutherford, whoever else he mentioned today.
Right. Oh, God. You know, I will say this, though. From all accounts people I've talked to today who have been close to him in some capacity, right? They do speak pretty highly of him, which, I mean, nobody's going to say this. Nobody with a job right now is going to say this guy's a fucking moron. You know, I mean, right. It's not going to happen. But, it seems encouraging in that regard. But, again, I mean, shoot, man. They could have hired I'm trying to think of, like, an old good GM, and I'm just – my brain is melting. But, just the ghost of someone great. You know what I mean? Just whatever. Brain the best GM ever. Sure. There you go. And, like, I don't know that – they can even do this. You know what I mean? This just seems, and we keep saying it, but it seems so insurmountable to me. Just the amount of, man, he cramming 15 pounds of stuff into a 5-pound bag here. And it's just, it's a lot.
And then in a way, like, you're almost, by having this guy fire people, you're in a sense, I think, I don't want to say burning bridges, but maybe kind of.
Right? Yeah, like, you are. You are. You're making yourself less attractive. You told the guy publicly that he was safe 3 weeks ago, and then you fucking slaughter him and everyone in his department. And when it comes out that he got slaughtered for protecting his people, number one. Number two, when the details of the Ryan O'Reilly deal come out, because you know that shit will leak if Pegula had any hand in that, that's going to be another one. This makes your organization look worse from free agents all the way up to the front office. It's an unattractive spot.
not to mention you have your captain and best player a couple weeks ago I'm almost done with this. So now like people are going to be like, I don't want to go there because Eichel wants to be out the door in a year.
Dude, I got to tell you something. That kid, I'm 6 years older than him, 5 or 6 years older than him. He has more maturity than I'll probably ever have because there is no way in hell I wouldn't have demanded a trade.
This is his third GM, right? GM in 5 years. And how many coaches? Three?
I'd have been out the door. I didn't know my house signed the extension.
Yeah,
just a tire fire of an organization.
In 5 years, he had three coaches, and now this is his third general manager.
What's that poor kid going to be, 30 by the time his contract is up? Son of a gun.
Yeah.
That's just the worst.
And that's he has really no power here if he asks for a trade. They can tell him no.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You're going to go play in Europe? Right. Like,
yeah. My God. I almost would at this point, yes. I'll go to Europe. Rip up Helsinki for a couple of years. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
I don't even know if you could do that with the transfer agreements they have.
Probably not. Right. It's just, yeah, I feel so bad for him, man. He deserves better. He really does. I mean, shoot. How long are we going to ask him to just carry everything on his back?
I mean, like they said today, too, like they had a good conversation with him. Like,
yeah, I'm sure.
Okay, I'm sure. But, like, do you think this guy's, like, another one?
I'm amazed he picked up the phone. Right.
Especially like after you just told, like maybe he was happy Bottle was gone because I think,
yeah,
some of the frustration you kind of came with could be because he didn't believe the guy in charge was good at building the team. But like,
right,
all right, cool, Bottle's gone. Like, what you playing now? Oh, Kevin's gonna be the GM. Oh,
Kevin, right. The guy I saw making copies last week. Yeah,
the guy who runs HR, like Kevin. Yeah. Kevin, like,
right. I like how he went from company fall guy. GM. Funny to me. Like, he's just the guy they would trot out there to deliver bad news.
They did it twice this year. They sent him out on WGR when they give him his new title of VP of whatever the hell he was to go talk about the jersey misspellings. Trot his ass out there to go do that, so we don't want to do that. And then now you trot his ass out there. It's a new GM. And oh, by the way, you're going to go fire everybody that you just...
Kevin, go out there and do some PR and we'll make you the GM.
And like, I'm sorry, like I have to like go back at the Pagulas here. Like,
yeah, please, dude, they haven't earned it.
Cowardly shit they did today.
Oh my God. So much.
Like from the Bottle thing in itself, the finances thing, whatever, that's some garbage, but I get you wanted to do what you want to do. And this guy said he would do it, but these owners knew what was happening today. They made their press conference at 2:00 so they could talk about Adams and Botterill. And I'm sure 15, 20 minutes, half hour after that call ended, they started firing everybody. Like, and then you have Adams be the one who fires everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Just, it's cowardly shit. You knew you were going to fire your entire hockey department, and you didn't mention it at all.
And you did it after the presser.
Right. So nobody can ask you questions about it.
Yeah. Cowardly.
Spineless. Unbelievably cowardly.
Yeah. Yep. They knew.
That goes back to sending Adams out there to talk about the jersey shit.
Yeah.
Like, have your president talk about it. Why should he?
Because he's willing to.
It's just ridiculous. Yeah. But I guess this shows you. Just go out, say some shit for your bosses, and boom, you're GM.
That's exactly what I was gonna say. That's why I called him Hockey Russ Brandon at the beginning of this. Just a yes man. And I wanna believe he'll be more, and he might be more. It's kind of unfair, right? I'm trying my best to avoid like shitting on Kevin Adams because this isn't Kevin Adams.
It's really not fair to him. Absolutely, yeah. I agree.
But at the same time, it's like, yeah, you say yes to enough shit, you know what I mean? And it appears that this ownership group really is keen on that. So
yeah,
I mean, I think that's why they were so attracted to Kruger. Like, we have a problem. Well, here's an inspirational quote. Wow, you're amazing. Like, it's just I don't know. Look at the shiny fucking keys.
Yeah,
I was trying not to drop any F-bombs. I messed up.
It's fine. I mean, this is a Yell podcast. Who cares?
I know.
So yeah, I mean,
he said as he dropped his fourth of the day. I definitely had another one.
Yeah, but I mean, I think we're kind of getting to the end here. I mean, we're both out of steam. It's just to wrap it all up. It's a day where I think we should be talking about the future of this team and how things have changed and how they can do some things now to like being like. What is the future? Like, literally, that's the question. What is the future of this team? And it's so hard to figure out. What are they doing? Do they know what they want to do?
Absolutely not.
I think they want to be good. Do they have an idea sure. how to be good? No.
And the funny thing is that, and this is going to make a lot of people puke. And I think I'm at this point. Of just being this cynical, maybe. This feels like they're going to be bad for three more years. Nobody's going to buy tickets. And the fan base will become so disengaged where they'll be like, well, we tried to make this economically viable in Buffalo. It's just not happening. And like they'll point the finger at the city instead of the fact that they could not even put a palatable product on the ice at any point in 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah, it.
They're Newporting us.
Yeah.
We said it last week.
Yeah, it's so hard. Like, that's the thing that we talked about kind of when we run the train wreck podcast together. I mean, I kind of mentioned our, like, it's, if you think Anthony and I enjoy being negative all the time and being frustrated, like, I got to tell you, it is so exhausting.
Oh my God.
But when I saw the bottle thing today, like, I was excited. I'm like, oh man, podcasts are fun. Even with Kevin Adams, like, whatever. Yeah. We'll figure it out. But then, like, just – then, like, the press conference and then the fire, and then it's like, like, it just – it's just it, – and then it just – it muddies up everything because there's no plan.
Right.
At all.
Nope.
And then we mentioned Eichel. Like, how do you – what do you tell Eichel you're doing? And he's like, oh, okay, yeah, I get that. Like – hey Jack, we're gonna, you know, hire a guy
with lean
experience, and then we're gonna go lean. You know, you might lose your best friend, by the way. Sorry, tough shit.
Yeah, a lot of technology though.
We can't afford to pay Sam Reinhart, so we're gonna trade him for some cheaper pieces. You know, we're gonna do the Ryan O'Reilly deal again. So instead of Kevin Adams headliner is gonna be traded Sam Reinhart. That's gonna be his thing on his resume.
Mm-hmm. You know, I wanna just touch on one thing real quick that you kind of mentioned there briefly. On the negativity thing, it's like, I think we've been bad so long that I think you and I are almost kind of in the same boat. I mean, you've been doing it, you know, a little longer than me, obviously, but I don't think we have had a chance to write about a playoff team, at least not in the capacity, you know what I mean? With the following we have now.
Nope.
And I think that kind of sucks where, you know, it's like, you guys just like to be negative. It's like, show me the opportunity I've had over the last 5 years to be positive and not end up being wrong later. Like it's almost like I feel like I'm apologizing for being right, and that's just right. The worst. You know what I mean? It's like, sorry, we called this. You know what I mean? And it like made your day, your Wednesday, a little bit more difficult. Like, if you need someone to tell you things are going to be better, like just play Ralph Krueger soundbites on repeat, man. Like you know.
I mean, we
do hockey analytics, man. We don't make up fables for you.
Yeah.
You know, and by the way, point to me where we were wrong. I'm not being facetious. I'm not being arrogant. I'm being honest. Like, show me where we were wrong to be skeptical.
Yeah. And there's
just so far we haven't been.
Right. Right. I mean, we've been in the playoffs in 9 years. You get no room for any.
Right.
Anything.
And I think a lot of it is like, man, this city was just so goddamn battered by the Bills, and it's like, well, you know, that was 17 years and like fans were still optimistic somehow. It's like, you're right, Bills fans are a different breed, and by extension so are Bills writers, but sorry, there's just too much information in front of me.
Yeah. And like, it's,
but God, to think we enjoy being like this. Good Lord.
No, I mean,
I would much rather write about a playoff team.
Right, you actively try to go out there and like find good topics, but there's like three of them. And then when you write about it, I'm like, that's it. Like that's the end of it. And it's
right.
It's difficult, man. This is like, And don't get me wrong, I enjoy doing this, yeah, but some like it's exhausting.
Yeah.
It's just win one hockey game. I mean, can you just wrap your head around that? They just would have won one more goddamn hockey game.
We're not talking about any of this.
We're talking about a playoff in none of this.
Yeah. Yep. 100%. It's crazy.
That's
one game, right? One less day with Zach Bogosian on your in your lineup.
And one day where Carter Hutton can actually see the puck that's being shot at him.
Give him some Harry Potter glasses and it's fine. Like,
one day that you could kill at least one penalty in a game.
it's just this thin margin that's just been like, oh man, if we had just done this one damn thing. Because hockey is the only sport, maybe basketball, I don't follow it closely enough, but where more than half the teams make it. Mm-hmm. And it's just, how is it 9 years? How do you do that?
And then the how year is where 77% possible? Of the teams make it, you still don't make it.
Oh, my God. It's just bad. You know, but we'll I mean, shit, we'll try to be positive, man. I don't know about what.
Yeah, right.
I mean, shoot. What did we just do? I mean, last week I put it, or 2 weeks ago maybe now, I put an article telling you that, hey, this outlier year by Jeff Skinner shouldn't worry you, and people got mad at that. It's like, well, I tried to be positive, guys, and you didn't want it. So, like, what am I supposed to do here? You know what I'm saying? I took the one thing I could maybe spin from this shit sandwich of a season. It's like, okay, well, I tried.
It is what it is, right? I mean, I think everybody's just so frustrated at this point.
You know, I don't blame anyone for being mad. Right. It's just like, but don't blame me for...
Right, don't blame me.
Don't blame me for being right. I love the guys today, though. There were a couple on Twitter. They were like, well, it's the media who's caused all this. It's like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. The media traded Ryan O'Reilly.
Yeah, I mean, if you listen to some of the media, this team would be a lot different than what they were. Even just some of the Sabres fans, this team would be a lot different.
Better.
Well, we'll play that for another day, perhaps.
Sure. I want to take all the crazy trade proposals on Twitter from the last 12 months and see if anything would actually work. I don't actually want to do that. Sounds like a lot of work.
You know what they should do? If I'm being honest, they should just like, here's my plan. You want to, at the end here, I'll give my plan what they should do.
Please.
You should hire some smart people who will tell you to do some different type of shit. Some people who may tell you, like the guy who works for the Jersey Devils, who wrote an article about Matt Cain, by the way, who wrote an article about maybe if you're down by 2 goals with like 10 minutes left in the game, you pull your goalie because you go from like a I'm exaggerating these numbers, I don't know the exact ones. You go from like a 5% chance of scoring a goal to like 12, like, I don't know. It goes way up. I don't know what it is, but like it goes way up. And maybe you have somebody who comes and tells your coach to do that. And then you try that and see if it works. Try some new things. Try Ryan Stimson power play behind the net thing. Like, see if that works out for you. Try anything. Like, just try to have your players play different. Try something different. Like, you're hiring your third GM who's a first-time GM. You're hiring a coach who you thought you maybe had some different ideas that really turns out it was just sports science ideas. It really wasn't hockey.
Turns out it was the posters you used to see in your guidance counselor's office.
Right. Like, just like, this is your chance. Like, I'm gonna emerit them right now. This is your chance. This is your one opportunity. You have cleared your hockey department. You just try to do something different. Try to take a new approach to the game. I'm not even sure if it's gonna work, but I'll tell you what, I think myself, you, other people may respect the hell out of you for trying something different than failing at the same thing for the 4th, 5th, 6th time.
What was the thing, and I'm sure you'll be able to pull it right up in your brain here, what was the thing that was kind of silly but different that we actually gave them credit for trying? Do you remember what it was?
No, the only thing I could think of is, like the people who get mad when they pulled the goalie in the power play down a goal when it didn't work like twice, but it worked like 4 times.
Well, sure, but I'm talking about this thing was just like kind of silly, but it was like, hey, it's different, cool, I give them credit. Putting Ristolainen in front of them on the power play.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It was different, and it was like they were trying something, which, hell.
It got old after like a month or two and didn't work anymore, but it was different, right?
But it was different, and initially it worked a couple times. We were like, hey, good for you. Yeah. Good for you for thinking outside the box. And then they just kept doing that same thing. When it stopped working, it's like, okay, but you got to keep thinking outside the box. You can't just do the one thing.
Or when they would put Jack Eichel on the penalty kill early in the season, like late. Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. That works. He's not bad at killing penalties. Let him do that a couple times.
Right.
That stopped.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, Johan Larson with Jeff Skinner. Oh, my God. They had three games where they were really productive. And we should probably not do that
with Connor Sheary, who, like, you're trying to raise value so you could sell him. Like, it was working. Four games later, nope. Okay, well, I guess there goes that.
Yeah.
Jake McCabe and Brandon Montour worked.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to give that a run for any longer than me. Just Bulls keep running Ristolainen and Montour out there with their 4% expected goal differential. Yeah, just keep throwing them out there.
I did never believe you if at the beginning of the year you said another coach was going to make Ristolainen his highest ice time defenseman. I never believed it. Like, no way a fourth dude can do this.
And now another general manager might keep him too. Like,
yep. He's staying forever.
And he has 2 years on his contract.
Maybe, and that guy's basically, he's all but begging you to trade him.
Right. This is like 2 years in a row where he's like, I don't know. Like last year, I think he was more vocal about it. Like, all right, like, can we just really just end this year? And this year he's kind of like, he was like, yeah, like, I like Kruger, but you know, if you want to trade me, I'm still okay with that. I'm still cool with it. Nope. Just bring you back. We're going to trade Sam Reinhart instead.
Yeah.
Buffalo Sabres. All right. Before we get down the more negative poll, I kind of feel like I ended on a good note with that little thing at the end there. So we'll end it there. So we'll get into the spiel here. But first, I think we should kind of – I know, like, last week we mentioned the Blade Awards thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's – we're probably going to push that here a few weeks because there's a lot of shit going on. Like, so maybe we'll, like, do the voting next week. And then after that, maybe the week after that, I have nothing else goes berserk here. We'll do that. We are going to have Hannah come on there with us again for that. So it'll be three of us. So that's pretty cool. That'll be fun. So we'll arrange that. But again, it's not going to be like next week, like we said, probably another couple weeks down the road once things start to calm down here again. So just for an update on that. But we'll get to the spiel here at the end. So make sure you're following us on Twitter, Anthony at Chandra Sports, myself at CMD Dominicis, at Die by the Blade. Make sure you check out Die by the Blade for all of your Sabres content that we get over the next few weeks here. Top 25 under 25, going to go ahead and get underway next week. So make sure you vote on that. You can go to diebytheblade.com and vote and rank your top 25. And then we'll see kind of how it goes with the fans and the writers voting and how that shakes out pre-draft. And then we'll do another one again after the draft. And yeah, make sure you rate, subscribe, share, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, all the fun places you can find a podcast. I think that's it, Anthony, right?
I think you nailed it.
What a whirlwind.
Yeah.
Just, we talked about this day for numerous podcasts.
Better part of a year.
Right. And here it is. But like, as we said, the thing we talked about the most with Botterill going was like the fourth the fourth headline of today. It's wild. It's Buffalo Sabres hockey, man. It's insane. Never amazes us. So I don't know. We'll be back next week. We could be back tomorrow if they do things. We could be back in 3 days. I honestly don't know when we're going to be back, but probably next week if nothing else happens. We'll get back in here again after everything calms down and kind of, I don't know, see if we can throw it together. So hang in there, fans. Buckle up, because who the hell knows what's going to happen here over the next week. If there's going to be anything else that goes on, I guess we'll have to wait and see. But we'll be here if things do. So thanks for listening. Thanks for reading the content we put out. It's much appreciated. And thanks for the interaction, because that makes kind of Twitter and all these exhausting and tiring times fun that you guys do that with us. So we appreciate that. So for Chad and Anthony, we are out of here this week.